Let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to Him, glorifying to our Savior. So let's spend a moment in opening prayer. Heavenly Father, what a phenomenal God You are that You have given to us, Heavenly Father. You made us a new creature in Christ when we believed in Christ, and then You gave us an immune system for our position in Christ, spiritual love, which protects us. Heavenly Father, You've also given to us the weapon of prayer, the peace of prayer, the encouragement of prayer, the joy of prayer, to be able to come to the sovereign, omnipotent God and let our request be made known to You. What an awesome God You are. And Father, we praise You, and therefore we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You, glorifying to Your Son. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, this morning we're going to study, For What Do You Pray? So let's open our hymnals, if you will, to 354. 354, and we will sing the hymn, Dear to the Heart of God. I wanted another one, but we don't have it. So we'll do this one, and 354, Near to the Heart of God. I'm going to go over here and become your pianist.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us and wave before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us away before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us away before Thee, near to the heart of God.
Okay, let's go through some serious prayer requests that we have. First of all, we have Phil McMillan's brother Steve and Gigi, who stays at the Phil Pat's when he's recovering and all. So, Phil, could you give us a report on Steve and Gigi?
Sure, yeah. My brother Steve has leukemia, and he's been on our prayer list for that in the past. He's in remission from leukemia, but for years he was on interferon, and then he was on Gleevec, and that's got him in remission. But those chemotherapy drugs took a toll and on his body over the years, and last week he had a series of small strokes. And he's out of the hospital now. They think that he'll have a good recovery. He's still a little weak on his left side, but he'll be doing therapy on that. And I'd appreciate it if you'd keep him in your prayers as he comes back from that and has no further, hopefully, problems. Gigi had a shoulder procedure last week, and we were going to pick him up after his day surgery and bring him home to recuperate, and he suffered a collapsed lung from the block that they did on his shoulder, and he's still at UT Southwestern. We think that he may be getting out today. He's got to get first. They've got to take him off of the block, and then they'll take the tube out of his chest. And if the tube is if the hole is closed and everything, he'll be free to go. Hope, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. I'll find out after class. So keep Gigi in your prayers.
Is Isaiah
No. No, he's at Clements, William P. Clements, UT Southwestern. Okay.
Well, Harry Hines. On he's in that whole conglomerate of buildings. I spent an hour on it. Well, tell us, first of all, what would be the request for Steve? What should we be in prayer
for? For Steve, that he would have no further strokes or complications. They don't anticipate any right now, but it came out of the blue this time. And that he gets a full recovery on his left side.
And what should we be in prayer for Gigi?
They when they remove they'll be able to remove the pain block and get that tube, and he'll be able to walk around that.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And that
meeting.
He converts all the Democrats.
I'll tell you what, I'm very pleased and thankful that Brian Wise is here this morning. My goodness, you've been through a battle. Wow, glad to have you back, man.
Thank you.
Tell us what we should continue to be in prayer for.
I think mine's just the kidney function will come back, because it's only about, 20-25% kidney function, just from all the contrast and antibiotics and stuff. So.
Okay. So the kidney and the healing of the arm.
Yep.
Okay.
We meet with the nephrologist tomorrow, so we'll find out a little bit more about the kidney function tomorrow.
And you'll let us know, Leslie? Okay. The prayer list?
Yep.
Good.
And I'd like to say thank you, Leslie, very much for...
Yes.
She's been the emergency response on the prayer list all week.
I tell you what, she's worth every penny we pay. And speaking of Leslie, let's be in prayer for her mother, Tish, who's got several things in her body she's battling. So please be in prayer for Tish. Let's continue being in prayer for Josie. And let's continue being in prayer for the St. Clairs, the entire family, your mother, and y'all. And let's continue being in prayer for Nell, and if she's still going through the battles. And so any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes?
I'm going to ask for prayer for myself. I've had this knee pain for about 10 days. And I've been going through some physical therapy, but it's not going as quickly as I'd like it to be. So I'm trying to keep this girl down. So anyway, it's painful when I walk too much. I have to stay off of it a lot.
Do they know what's causing it?
They're just saying deterioration. It's probably underneath the kneecap. They diagnosed it as like a runner's knee. But it's on the inside of the under kneecap. So you really can't see the x-ray.
The deterioration,
I'll probably have to have an MRI if after 3 more days of therapy does it do it.
I'm old enough to, but not you.
Oh, I know.
Jerry, it's all that dancing.
Too fast, okay, we'll be in prayer for your knee, for a recovery of your knee, and any other prayer requests? Yes?
I'd like to put my mom back on the list, Rebecca Scott. She's 95 years young, but she's dementia's starting to set in, and she's missing doses of her pills, but she's rejecting having anybody come in and help her take her pills on time, things like that. So it's frustrating for me and my siblings, but
Tell you what I did for my mom. If it's any clue help for you, she's the same way. So I just got a box, and I put in big tape on it. Big, this is Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They just left it on the counter there so that it's all marked out.
She's got that box. My sister puts it every week, does it. And
she still won't do it?
Comes back a week later, and she's missed a couple of doses.
Okay. You got one of those kind of boxes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. And she's obstinate. Yep.
My goodness. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
Herman, I just wanted to thank folks and just say a prayer of thanksgiving for Brian's dad's funeral. We were in prayer. I asked a lot of people, and I know that they were praying, and we had answered a prayer. His family, his siblings could have gone multiple ways with the presentation of the gospel, and we had... after the funeral, his brother said that he heard the person say that the gift of salvation was free, and was very open to that. His sister had visited that person's church before, that gentleman's church before, and was very moved because this is the pastor whose daughter has the cancer, Autumn, that the Dave were asking about. And so she was very moved because she knew the older daughter, and she lives in Wiley. And so just thank you for your prayers. It was not looking like it was going to go that direction, and then it did, and I know it's because of prayer. So
beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Thank you for that report. Very good. Goodness. Any other prayer requests? Anything? Okay, before
Tori, I have something I want to talk about. I hope you open your Bibles to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, it's in the Old Testament. We're having a wonderful time in studying of Ezekiel. And I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 5. Ezekiel chapter 5. I want you to look at verse 13 in Ezekiel 5. Thus my anger, and right now we're studying the anger of God on Wednesday night. My anger will be spent. I will satisfy my wrath. We're going to study the wrath of God on them. I will be appeased. Then they will know. This is what God wants us to know. That I, the Lord, have spoken in my zeal. So we have my anger, my wrath, my zeal in this one verse. And I have spent my wrath upon them. Now, what we're going to see is the horrible things that God is going to do to these people. What's going to happen to these people. And let's see. We might have to go to Ezekiel, some other of the other passages, but if not, what he's going to talk about that I wanted you to be aware of today is he's going to talk about how the parents will actually eat their children, and that is part of God's judgment against them. And how he is going to cause mothers to eat their daughters, sons to eat their father's flesh. This is God's judgment. Bad. I've never done this before, God said. I'm not going to do it again. That doesn't mean that this event will not happen again. Kit sent me a wonderful, uplifting message this morning. Thank you for the uplift. But, he says, the dismembering of a victim and are eating their flesh is a homicidal and heinous act that bonds to the cartel of Mexico as if they had joined a cult. It is viewed as a rite of passage into your new life and burns your moral and ethical bridges with traditional society. You got to get rid of that. So he talks about the things that this is going to do. Burns your moral and ethical bridges with traditional society. And then Kit realized that the liberals in the United States are attacking our heritage and traditional moral values. I think I sent you a link later to something else. But people, it's just amazing to me who's running for president. I just can't believe that not one of our founding fathers would just, this isn't the country we formed. Bernie Sanders, a devout socialist, communist, one of the front runners. Elizabeth Warren, a liberal socialist. Robert O'Koop, known as Beto, totally disregards the Constitution. He said if he's president, he's going into homes and secure and take away big weapons of mass destruction. Just come tell me into your home. And he's up one of the top runners. The hell with the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment, the guarantees the government cannot do that to us. He just put out the window. And people applauded. That's what scared me. I was frightened that a man would even say those words, but the applaud that he got to come into our homes at will and search your home and take what they think you should not have. It's just amazing. Marianne Williamson, a satanic spiritualist running for president, drawing hundreds of thousands of dollars for her campaign. She's redefined God. She's redefined Jesus. She's redefined the Holy Spirit. And she's running for president. Poor John Biden hadn't figured out what he believes yet, but that's all right. But people, we're in trouble in this country. I mean, even if Trump wins in 2020, the very fact that this is predominant is scary. That this would be going on in our country. We don't have any immune system against this kind of thing anymore. The educational system has failed us in teaching and passing on from one generation to the next the Constitution, freedom. What freedom is involved? What involves? It's not free. It's not free, people. And when a government takes away your pee, your weapons, it controls you. It controls you. Uruguay learned that the hard way. Countries are learning this the hard way. Yugoslavia is learning it the hard way. They let the government take away their guns, and now they're playing, and they don't like what's going on. Nothing they can do about it. People, there's just so many things in trouble. But most of all is our spiritual freedom. The freedom to turn to someone and say, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? That pretty soon is going to be known as a hate crime in America. There's going to be a law, anti-conversion. You cannot bring about conversion on anyone. That's how they'll cut off the gospel. The hatred toward God, Jesus Christ, and the Word of God is so predominant in America. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer for our young people, these people on the wall here, our young people that are in K through 12. Need our prayers. We need to pray for each other. That's what this church is about. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also one who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. Because it is the Holy Spirit who guides us what to do with our time and our money. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. What a phenomenal God you are, that we can come to you individually, privately, corporately, and pray to you, and you hear, and you listen, and you care. What an awesome God you are to just give us this privilege. Father, we pray to continue to use this humble assembly in so many ways that you are. The internet, young people, right here in our own assembly, missionaries. Continue to give us the opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and your word. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. For what do you pray? Anyone not have a copy? Everyone have a copy? Okay. Let's begin with the word of prayer. We're getting ready to do the most dangerous thing you can do in your life, and that is to open the word of God and study the word of God. It's the most dangerous thing you'll do. And why is it the most dangerous? Because we are so prone to put in human viewpoint, put in the philosophy of man, put in false theology, put in a whole lot of things that are not written therein. We don't want to read into the text. We want to let the Holy Spirit read out to us what's in it. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're going to continue our study on prayer, and we certainly want to be truthful in understanding the privilege of prayer. What we can pray, what we cannot pray, and why we pray. So we pray, Father, you'll open our eyes to the truth of what you would have us to understand about prayer. That Heavenly Father, this week, each of us will enrich in our prayer lives. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, we're in Colossians 4:12, studying a believer named Epaphras. And the more I've studied Epaphras, the more I can't wait to see him. There's just certain people, and I'm sure we all are, there's just certain people I want to see. I hope to be able to just communicate with in heaven. One is Whitaker Chambers. Just cannot wait to meet Whitaker Chambers and sit down and talk to that brilliant man who fought a great battle. Some of the martyrs, David, Paul, Peter, and Epaphras. So let's take a look now. Epaphras shows the working of spiritual love for other believers in his prayer life. This is what you want to have guide, is spiritual love. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of your number, he was their first pastor, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, your first pastor, bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly. And we spent all last Sunday looking at laboring earnestly. And so I hope you have an understanding of the fervency of that phrase. For, on behalf of, you in his prayers. Now we have something interesting. We have some of the things he prayed for these believers. And, you know, what do you want me to pray? That's why I like to ask you, when you give a prayer request, what do you want us to pray about that? It may seem obvious, but is there something we don't catch and know and grasp that we need to be in prayer for? And so this is the type of thing that I like to study here. Now look what he prays. That, in order that, you may stand perfect and fully assured in the will of God. This brings up a question. What do you pray for? When you pray for another believer, of course there's the current challenges in their life that we're aware of. Gigi's in the hospital with a punctured lung. Brian has problems with his kidney. So these are obvious things we'll be in prayer for. Financial difficulties of some people we may know. Problems with their children. Whatever it may be. But in general, what do you pray? You don't pray. Well, we need to encourage you to pray. Here is an excellent guide for your prayers. In order that you may stand perfect. Don't you wish someone would pray that for you? I sure do. I'd want someone to pray that for me every day. Let's pray for this, for each of our young people. People, they need it. Each of the young people whose pictures are on the wall back here are names. They need your prayers to stand fast, to be assured of the will of God. They're in the battle. Please be in prayer for our young people. And be in prayer for each other in this assembly who are trying to grow in the Word of God. These are the people in the battle. See? Now, the verb is an aorist passive subjunctive. Very important. Aorist tense emphasizes this fact that this is a constant position, regardless of what's going on in their lives. The passive voice, passive is important here. They receive standing firm. Every believer receives standing firm from the Holy Spirit. So, what are you going to pray? They stand firm in the Holy Spirit. In our 9:15 class, we're studying the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We're studying spiritual love, what it is. It is the immune system to the new creation that you are in Christ. When you believed in Christ, God made you a new spiritual creature. And just as your physical body has an immune system, your spiritual body has an immune system. And that spiritual body and a spiritual immune system is spiritual love. It is not jealous. It does not boast. It is not arrogant. These are the things that will protect, the things that want to get inside your spiritual being and camouflage it, just like our human bodies. A bacteria, or a cottage, what does the human body do? Boom! Get the T cells there. Get it there and heal it. Protect it. Cut it off. That's what the immune system's for. See? Well, God gave us an immune system for the spiritual being. An immune system is spiritual love. Now, we don't get to choose the spiritual immune system for our body, or the immune system for our bodies. But let me tell you something, in your spiritual life, you get to choose whether you want to have an immune system for your spiritual life or not. We do not decide not to be jealous. Spiritual love is not jealous. You don't say, Lord, help me not to be jealous today. That's not a good prayer. What we have to decide is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pours His spiritual love. Spiritual love is the immune system. It sets up a wall that spirit, that jealousy and arrogance and boasting cannot penetrate. That's what we have to make up your mind. You make up your mind not to be jealous, you'll be jealous. You make up your mind not to boast, you'll boast. See? I am so happy that I am not a jealous person. See? Well, are you proud of that? Yes. Well, then you just blew it. See? You've got arrogance. So, we have to understand how the immune system works. So here, we're looking at the Holy Spirit. Standing in the Holy Spirit is how they're going to stand firm. And the important subjunctive mood, how you're going to receive it. Now, the subjunctive mood, this recognizes that it is up to each individual believer. See? You cannot make the decision for others. A parent cannot make the decision for his or her child. Nor can a husband make a decision for the wife, a wife make a decision for the husband. It's up to each individual believer to make the daily decision to stand firm in the Lord. God help the believer who arrogantly thinks he can stand firm on his own. Actually, we could translate this, receive from the Holy Spirit that you stand firm. And the subjunctive is a warning. Not all believers receive from the Holy Spirit's power to stand firm. They do not go into the power of the Spirit by faith. This is where you come into the exhortation. You do not make a decision to stand firm, but you make a decision to be filled and empowered by the third member of the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit causes you to stand firm. The Greek word is used intransitively. It means to continue to endure, to persist in what you're doing. Now, in the margin of the New American Standard Version, stand firm. That's put in the margin. First of all, stand. That means not waver or fall or depart from your position in Christ. Now, if there's a difference between stand fast and stand firm, generally military terms, stand fast, stand firm. If there is a distinction, it is that the stand fast means to remain in position. To stand firm means to refuse to change position or decision. Here Epaphras prays that they will make a decision to stand in Christ and refuse to change or be moved of that relationship with Jesus Christ. I think I have it somewhere in here, but let me just tell you right now. These young people, there are leaders of young people that are disavowing their relationship with Christ now, denouncing their Christianity. They're going to be a universalist, which is, by the way, we're going to cover in John 3:16 study in the 9:15 class when I get it completed. But this is the battle they have. Stand firm. Make a decision where Christ is in your life and then stand fast. Don't waver from that position. Don't be caused to become weak and waver in it. Stand in it and then stand fast. That you believe in Christ, He is your life, He is what God is about as far as the world is concerned. Stand firm in your faith, for we live by faith, not by sight. Stand firm in your increasing in the knowledge of God. Stand firm in your growth in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, quoting 2 Peter 3:18. People, it's so important. All of us do. It's important these young people do. It's important all of us do. That we make a decision. Because the world is becoming more and more hostile against this book. Why do I want to study what the world is becoming hostile toward? That's just going to make me a center of their hostility. You got to make up your mind. And there are a lot of people who just find life a lot easier not to buck it. Just go along with it. Don't get involved in the study of it. I'm a Christian. I have eternal life. But I'm not going to get involved in all that. I don't want to have the problems. They need your prayers to stand firm in their position in Jesus Christ. So please be in prayer for the young people as well as for each other. Stand firm in your spiritual love. Do not waver in any of these areas of your life. This is what all of our young people need from K through 12 and then college and so on. Many leaders of here, I do have it. Many leaders of our young people are renouncing their faith. Our young people need our prayers, people, that they will persist in the spirit-filled life, persist in walking by faith, persist in their growth in the Word of God. They need our prayers. Each of us need our prayers. Everyone in this room needs your prayers. I just had enough. I don't want to go to that church. All they do is teach and teach and teach. I want to go and be entertained. I want to jump up and down. I want to do this. I want to do that. People, we need our prayers. I need your prayers. We all need each other's prayers. See? Colossians 1:10, increasing in the knowledge of God. Peter and 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Refuse to be moved out of that relationship with Christ, out of His Word, no matter what it may cost. It may cost a girl a boyfriend, a boy or girl his girlfriend. It may cost you some grade. See? It may cost you some grade if your teacher knows you stand for Christ. Don't hide it. If it is a part where you have to make that decision, you don't have to blatantly challenge him. That's arrogance. And I'll tell you a little story about arrogance. I was in a college and a university and the final exam. ask a question in economics. I answered the question. Page and on a whole other page. At the bottom, I said the above is what I was told to answer if the above question were asked. It is, however, not the correct answer. The following is the correct answer. And I wrote a page and a half of the correct answer. I got an A from the first half. I got a big F from the second half. He gave me a C, and he stuck with it. I wouldn't talk to him. He stuck with it. And that was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong. I made a stand I didn't need to make. But people, when it comes down to your stand for Christ, you need to make it, make it. I'm not afraid. I'll take a C for Christ. Now, then we have the adjective teleos, which refers to a purpose or goal. The New American Standard in the margin says complete or mature. So stand complete. Do not confuse the word teleos, our word, with the words, the Lord's last words on the cross, teleo. When he cried out in John 19:30, it is finished. Referring to his work on the cross for the judgment and sins of the world. It is finished. He's died spiritually, and then he died physically. Physical death did not pay for our sins. Spiritual death paid for our sins. And he said, it is finished. I have paid. Therefore, I'll go home to the Father. Then he died physically. Our word has the various nuances of complete, perfect, whole, full-grown, mature, adult. Now we come to the least understood principle in the Christian life. The Complete Bible Library in Volume 6 so fundamentally describes what's going on with the Word and our Christian life. Quote, mature Christian behavior is the goal of teaching and exhortation. Colossians 1:28 and 4:12. Moreover, it is consistently a relational, and I, that's my darkened and underlined, not his, but it is a relation, a relational quality, rather than a positional state achieved by being sinless or faultless. Just as sin is a broken relationship with God and not simply specific acts, so too teleos is relational. Let me just talk to you. You understand what he said? It's about a relationship with God, relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit. Why do marriages fall apart? No relationship between the man and the woman. Somehow or another, they just started drifting apart, became occupied with others, other people or other things. That's what happens to Christians when you don't stay in that relationship with Christ, that relationship with God through His Spirit, through His Word. You'd start drifting apart. That's where our country is. When you stay away long enough, people, it's not there any longer. You're ready for divorce. This is why Patrick Henry said, the Constitution is written for a Christian people. It will not suffice any other. So I'm looking forward to the fall of our Constitution as we become more and more anti-Christ, by Patrick Henry's own words. So what I'm dealing with here, people, is your intimacy with Christ through His Holy Spirit, through His Word, growing in the Word of God, studying it, living it, staying in that closeness with Him. As you drift apart, you're not going to fulfill what is being prayed for here. He's praying for a constant relationship with the Lord. Now let's take a look at it. This is a powerful concept. Epaphras is praying that they stay in fellowship with Jesus Christ every day in their lives, and that we stay in fellowship with Christ by or through the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ commanded, therefore you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus is not commanding sinless perfection of life. He is inviting them to come to God the Father through Him, and therefore stand before God as perfect in Christ. Now in our passage, Epaphras prayed fervently that they would stand firm in their daily lives as per their relationship, their personal positional relationship with Christ. People, all of us have a positional relationship with Christ when you believe in Christ. You want that duplicated in your life. We talk about living a righteous life. We are righteous in Christ for all eternity. Whether or not we live a righteous life is dependent upon our relationship with the Holy Spirit through our life. See? You cannot lose that position you have in Christ of righteousness, but whether or not you have it in your life is dependent upon you and your daily relationship with the Holy Spirit. So Epaphras prayed fervently that they would stand firm in their daily lives as per their personal relationship with Christ and with God. Both are accomplished by faith, as Paul says in Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Okay, what is he saying? For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith in Jesus Christ, to faith, living in the Holy Spirit by faith, from faith in Christ to living by faith in the Holy Spirit, from faith to faith, as it is written. But the righteous man, that's the person who has believed in Christ as Savior, by relationship with Jesus Christ, by faith, and the resultant imputation of God's perfect righteousness. Every believer is eternally righteous. But how we live our life is the great question. Shall live by faith. Daily keeping relationship with Jesus Christ through His Spirit by faith. Growing in His Word by faith. Living as per God's plan for us by the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. People, these young people, a lot of us, we've already made our minds up. Where we're going to live, marry, work, these kind of things. These are the decisions all these young people have to make. They need your prayers. Where am I going to go after college? Do I marry this person I'm meeting in college? What does God want me to do? Where does God want me to live? These are a multitude of very important questions. They need your prayers. People, they don't get it in their colleges. Hopefully they're getting it in their churches. Maybe, maybe not. But they need our prayers. Because these are the decisions they've got to make. They will live from faith in Jesus Christ to living faith. So what Epaphras is praying is that they will stand firm in their relationship with Jesus Christ by not moving from their faith in the Holy Spirit. Colossians 4:12. Always laboring earnestly, fervently, for you, your spiritual benefit, in his prayers, that you stand firm, perfect, complete in your relationship with Christ, as you have an eternal relationship with Christ. Stand firm in that relationship by having temporal relationship with Christ in your daily lives. Now continuing his prayers, not through praying for people. And fully assured in all the will of God. People, this is so important for every Christian. Being fully assured. This is a perfect passive participle. A plural. To be fully assured. To be absolutely sure in the current and certain of life. To be fully convinced. Or to have full, complete confidence. No doubts about your conviction. It also means to be fully determined. I'm always interested in seeing young people struggling in their education until they find that course that they really want to take. I think it's wise of some young people, I'm not ready for college yet. I'm going to go to the military. I'm going to go to work. And then they kind of get it, all right, this is what I want. So when they go to college, they have a goal, have an objective, and they shine. They shine. My grade average changed from when I was majoring in economics to when I majored in Hebrew. Had a goal, an objective. It was just so different. That's what happens. So if some young people are having trouble, find out where they are in their conviction of what they're doing. See, are you sure you're in what you need to be doing? See, this kind of thing. Now, if you're K through 12, forget it. It's not your choice. See, the world has made up their mind for you. See, but in college, you have their own. You have to make that choice. See, all right. That day his life has changed. He knew immediately why he had to excel at his chosen work. Or a young person who struggles through his youth, always in trouble. Then he joins one of the branches of service, and all of a sudden he excels. Why? Why do these things happen? What happens to these people? They found something they were fully committed to and convinced, this is why I'm here. And it thrills me so when someone believes in Jesus Christ and realizes this is their life. They can't get enough teaching. They can't get enough of the Word of God. How can we be fully convinced? What gives us that confidence? The Word of God gives us that confidence. Growing in the knowledge of God the Father. Increasing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You never get enough of sound teaching of the Word of God. I never grew tired of going to Bible study 6 nights a week in Houston. 6 nights! 6 nights! That left only 1 night for hell reason. 6 nights in Bible class studying the Word of God. I loved it. I looked forward to every night studying the Word of God. See? The more we learn of God and His plan for history, the more we learn about Jesus Christ, the more we learn of their place in our lives, where we fit into history. We didn't get to pick. People, we didn't get to pick. We didn't even get to put in a resume to what kind of parent we wanted. That was all God's decision. We're here at this time in history. It's a fun type of game. When would you have liked to have been born, see? Well, it's a nice, fun game, but we're stuck here. Now. The challenge is now. See? So we've got to be convinced. God has a plan for me. This is God's plan for me. This is God. I feel so sorry for someone who's not fully convinced at marriage. If you stand at the altar, be fully convinced. If you're not, I don't care. Before you say I do, say I don't and get out of there. See? Just, you got to be fully convinced of things that are important. Simply stating this vital prayer request, be fully convinced that your relationship with Christ is in the will of God. Fully assured in all the will of God. About or in regard to or in obedience to. This is the location of being fully assured. It is always dangerous not to be fully convinced when you marry someone. Many people, not fully convinced when they vote, but when it comes to your spiritual life, it's imperative you be fully convinced. See? Now, you may go through a time period. Some people really do. I've met some wonderful people, and they just, I don't know about Christ. I don't know about the gospel. I don't know about the Bible. That's all right. Don't be alarmed if some young person's going through that. Pray for them. Help them. Encourage them. That's good that they're battling it. See? That's good they're questioning these things. Pray for them. It's a vital time in their life. They don't need your criticism. They need your encouragement, your strength. See? To get with the Word of God and understand His truth. If you're not fully convinced that this is the right local church for you, decide what you're looking for in a local church, then find one. But be sure about what you're looking for. If you're looking for fun and entertainment, this is not it. If you're looking for a bowling alley and a basketball court, this is not it. If you're looking for really good praise music, this is not it. If you're looking for solid teaching of the Word of God, hopefully this is it. See? This is it. And I know people come here and are discouraged our music. My wife told me, this was the most discouraging thing when I first started coming to your church. It was just discouraging. She said, your music just left me wanting. That wasn't her word. It's the wanting. She said, but the teaching kept me coming, but boy, the music was just dragging. And about that time, a little later, James Webb came and we got a little bit going. Then the Lord decided to take him home. So this is where we are. But you've got to decide, people, and be committed to what you're going to do. Okay, first, be fully convinced on the gospel that you are saved forever by faith and only faith in Jesus Christ only. That's a necessary. I am saved. I am convinced of that. If you're not, study the Word of God. Get with somebody who understands the teaching of the Word of God. Understand correctly John 3:16. See? And you'll be assured of your salvation. Secondly, be fully convinced that God the Holy Spirit is in you. See, that power is in you. And there are verses that teach that. Third, be fully convinced that the only way of being filled with or by the Holy Spirit is by faith in the Holy Spirit. That's how I'm filled with the Spirit. Fourth, be fully convinced that you are learning and understanding the Bible in truth. See? If you're fully convinced of these things, then you will be convicted and encouraged to stand fast in your commitment to Christ in every area of your life, morally, socially, politically, family, and spiritually. Every aspect of your life. Galatians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of your number, bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly, fervently, for your benefit in his prayers. And here's what he prays for you, that you may stand firm, perfect, in your relationship with Christ, and fully convinced, fully determined in all the will of God. Okay, people, do not speed read past that word all. All the will of God. It's in the Greek text. The Holy Spirit put it there. And it means just that. Every area of your life is in the will of God. Every area. All the will of God. To simplify the teaching, I like to take our life as having five areas. That has a lot more than that. But just to make the point. And more on point one, you're straight with the Lord. Point two, you're straight with the Lord. Point three, you're straight with the Lord. Point four, but point five, no. I don't really trust my husband or my wife. I want to control them. I don't really trust the Lord, so I've got to control them. I don't really trust the Lord with my money. I've got to control my money. I don't really trust, whatever it is. People, he wants all of us, all of our being. He has a will for every part of our life. And let me tell you something. Nearly every Christian that I know has an area where they battle giving that area to the Lord. Don't judge them. Pray for them. C.I. Scofield, the Scofield Bible, had an area. People found out about it and judged him. It was drinking. He just battled it. People, if you find somebody that has that one area, a little finger area they're holding out, they pray for them. Pray fervently for them that they'll learn to put that into the hand of God. All areas of our life. You want the whole thing running in the same direction. You don't want to have one area out here. You want it all going the same direction for the glory of Christ. In your marriage, in your finance, where you live, all these areas. That's the whole issue of the will of God. So don't speed read past the word all. We cannot overemphasize the importance of the will of God for your life. For every area of your life. Geographical will of God. Where you live. It's very important to God. If I had my choice, I'd be in California, and I'd be where I could see the ocean here and the mountains here, and if it was a beautiful day, we'd meet out at the ocean. If it was a bad day, we'd meet up in the mountains. Say, God said, I ain't going to do that. You'd never get your studies done. So I'm putting you in a flat land. Flat. See? Has a geographical will for every one of us. Where does God want me? I'll never forget in seminary, David Chavon, who's home with the Lord now, we went to Miami for our Bible conference, and we did not know this until we got home talking about it. On the plane there, oh Lord, if we were seniors, maybe we'll go to Miami. Maybe we'll be pastors in Miami. Give us a church in Miami. We got there. We spent part of a week there. On the flight back, we both prayed, God, please don't send me to Miami. Please don't do that. And we both told each other that, and we both busted out laughing because it was the same prayer of both of us. Pray we get there. Pray we don't. Cancel that prayer. See, God has a place for us. It's a geographical will. See? That's perfect for His plan for your life. And it may change in some people's lives. Some of us get stuck, stay in an area. Some people, they just move all the time, and it's God's will. That's fine. So there's a geographical will of God. Then there is where you live, occupational will of God. And when I say occupational, I mean and I include a woman who has made a decision that her husband and life is her life. And she stays home, managing his home for her husband and her family, and blessed with children, rearing those children in the Word of God, rearing those children. And these things, should you be taking that off, or are you going to have any kind of problem here in class? Oh, okay. I don't want that to, I don't want that to happen in class. So God has a plan. And it's got to be for each person. See, ladies, please remember that working is man's curse. Read Genesis 3, 17, 18, and 19. Why do you think you can get glory under man's curse? The work world. See, that's pitiful. See, you've got enough cursing of your own. Don't try to get into man's curse. So God has a will for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. This will cover every area of our lives. Where you live, whom and when you marry, what they will do when they with their lives, where they will worship God together, and all these kinds of things. Jesus Christ, as the head of the church, has established the local churches, and through the Holy Spirit has gifted men with the gift of pastor-teacher. Many believers have found the will of God for their lives in service in a local assembly. Even in a small assembly. People, we have a multitude of things to do in a small assembly. Financial management, communion service, the electronics, the internet, missionary outreach, cleaning, special event, on and on and on. All these things take service. Hospitality to visitors. Each other, encouragement, teaching of the children. The will of God includes your social life. It includes how you will vote. And people, the will of God includes that throughout history, many may have to die as martyrs for Christ. If that's your call, are you ready? Is He worth you dying for? How confident do you have to be to die for Christ? A woman in India, this is a quote, a woman in India watches as her sister, this is recent, dragged off by Hindu nationalists. She doesn't know if her sister is alive or dead. A man in North Korean prison camp is shaken awake after being beaten unconsciously. The beatings begin again. A woman in Nigeria runs for her life. She has escaped from the Boko Haram, who kidnapped her. She is pregnant, and when she returns home, her community will reject her because she's pregnant. A group of children are laughing and talking as they come down to their church's sanctuary after eating together. Instantly, Many of them are killed by a bomb blast Easter Sunday this year. These people don't live in the same region or even on the same continent, but they share an important characteristic. They're all Christians, and they will suffer because of their faith. While Christian persecution takes many forms, it is defined as any hostility experienced as a result of identification with Jesus Christ. From Sudan to Russia, from Nigeria to North Korea, from Colombia to India, followers of Christianity are targeted for their faith. They are attacked. They are discriminated against at work and at school. They risk sexual violence, torture, arrest, and much more. Take it from Open Doors. People, this is why we must maintain freedom in America. What our forefathers put together, I hope you can appreciate, is just astounding in history. I like to encourage people that want to study American history, study from 1700 on. See what the climate of the world was. Hate, anger, persecution. If you didn't agree with us, all these kinds of things going on in Europe, in India, Middle East, Africa. And these group of men came together in America and they said, you know what? Let's have religious, political freedom. And they had to battle it out. Massachusetts especially. Massachusetts was ready to actually prosecute if you weren't a Christian. It's unbelievable what was going on in some of the individual states. But they all realized that the final analysis, freedom. Freedom. And that's what they gave us. Liberty. They walked out. They hollered at Benjamin Franklin. What do we have? What do we have? Benjamin Franklin gave those beautiful words. You have a republic. You have a republic if you can keep it. We haven't kept it. We're now a democracy. A democracy has never lasted long in history. Democracies collapse. We can't allow it to collapse, people. We've got to control and maintain this freedom that we have. See? Okay, let's continue on from the study of Open Doors. We're studying praying for one another. It is so urgent that we be in constant prayer for our young people in schools, K through 12, colleges, universities, military service, work. We must follow Epaphras and pray that they stand firm in their relationship with Jesus Christ and that they be fully convinced, fully determined in their position in the will of God. Please join with each other in daily prayer for our young people. For Ryan, Mackenzie, Ben, Nicholas, Thomas, right here in our own assembly, and all the young people whose names and faces are posted on the wall in the back. They will have so many counterattacks to their Christian faith from teachers, professors, friends, boys that the girls will meet, girls that the boys will meet, in their romance with the opposite sex. They need to stand firm in Christ. We need to be in prayer. Encourage them to stand firm in Christ. But not only for our young people, but for each other. For me. For my wife, Judith. For Kit. For Julie and Brian, who, by the way, need our prayers. Jeff, Anel. Everyone in this assembly. For parents of our young people. For one another in this assembly. Over the four decades in this ministry, I have witnessed time and time again people just drifting away. And as I would look, not going to another church. That would hurt, but I could understand it. I could understand not wanting to sit and listen to my teaching. I could understand that, but nothing. To go from here to nothing. See? Just drift away from Christ, from Christ's people. People, remember the battle is the battle of faith. Everyone is under siege from the world. Satan. Their own inherited sin nature. We need to pray for one another in this assembly. We need to encourage one another in living by faith. The will of God is so important to Paul. All through the book of Colossians, he speaks of the will of God. Look at it. Colossians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Not the will of man, and not my will. The will of God. I'm a pastor teacher. Not because a church group wanted, not because I wanted. God did it. Then in Colossians 1:9, we have Paul praying for these believers. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled, same as Ephesus' prayer, with the knowledge of His will. And where is this knowledge of His will? In all spiritual wisdom and understanding from the Word of God. Then Colossians 1:18, He who is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will become to have first place in everything. First place in everything. See? I don't want to be first place in my wife's life. I want Christ to be. She can't be first place in my life. Christ has to be. Christ has to be first in your life. Then your relationship with your spouse and your children will be a conformity with His plan. Jesus Christ desires to have first place in every area of your life. This is the will of God for every believer in Jesus Christ. What is the will of God for me? That His only Son, Jesus Christ, have first place in every area of your life. That's the will of God for you. See? Your time, your money, your priorities. So people, as we learn from Epaphras, it is important that we pray, but it is equally important what we pray, especially for one another. Still in our book of Colossians, look what Paul prays in regards to these believers. Colossians 1:9, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, people were guided in our prayers by reports that we hear. Not just what's going on in their personal lives, but in their environment that they effect in the spiritual realm. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that. Now we learn more about what Paul is going to pray for them. You may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that. Why do we have spiritual wisdom? Why do we study the Word of God? Let me tell you one thing before we read on. We did this Wednesday night. Why do we study the Word of God? Why do we study Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Galatians, going to study Ephesians? Why do we do that? So we'll be warned. See, they had the Torah. The Jews, at the time of the Babylonian captivity, they had the Torah. And the Torah warned them. You will be disciplined by God if you get so far out, you will eat your own offspring. They were warned. They didn't pay attention. People, we study the Word of God that we can be warned. We study the Word of God that we can understand what He's going to do, what He plans. What happens if I'm in His will? What happens if I get out of His will? These are the things that we have to understand. So this is what He's saying. Not cease to pray for you in order to, and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. To please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. What a wonderful God for our prayers for one another. He prays that they continue to grow in spiritual wisdom from the Word of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness, patience, joyously. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Here He prays that they will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, the power of God. Now why? Why be empowered by the Holy Spirit? for the attaining of all steadfastness, hupomone, which refers to patience in regard to circumstances. See? We all run into circumstances in our life. Financial circumstances, the car breaks down, just different things happen. Not people, circumstances happen. We all need hupomone, patience in regard to circumstances. And then he uses the word patience. This is the beautiful word, makrothumia, which is patience in regard to people. People, if circumstances don't get you, people will. If people don't get you, circumstances will. You're going to get hit. See? We need the power of the Holy Spirit to get us through it. When circumstances, we don't get in the mail by the time we thought we'd get it. This didn't happen. That didn't happen. Something happened in the car, the garage door, on and on and on. You name it. It happens. See? Macrothumia, hupomone, fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, joyously. Remember the issue here is what does joyously modify? Does it modify giving thanks or what precedes? People, we are to be patient with challenging circumstances in our lives joyously. We are to have long suffering toward others joyously. See? A wife fed up with her husband joyously is not, here's your food, eat it. See, that's not joyously. See? So, we've got to do things joyously is the whole issue. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. Now, let's close the study on our praying for one another with Paul's great prayer in Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. It's what I call a knee prayer. This is a fervent prayer. This is laboring earnestly. Why pray to God the Father? Why do we pray to Him? From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. You can pray to the Father for anyone, anywhere on earth. That. Okay. Now we come to the content of the prayer for other believers. That He, God the Father, would grant you, this expresses Paul's desire for them from God, that God would graciously give them something. Now look what Paul is talking with God the Father, pleased with God the Father, according to the essence of God, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Paul often prays that believers will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. So that, why you want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? So that Christ may indwell your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in spiritual love. And how are they rooted and grounded in spiritual love? By knowledge of the Word of God. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. I can't wait to get to Ephesians in a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, I don't know. That you may be filled up to the fullness of God. Here is an excellent prayer for other believers who are in the Word of God. But I'm including the first part, verse 20, because it is important in our prayer life. Now to Him who is able to do more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, that's the Holy Spirit. So people, let's learn from Epaphras, from Paul, that we are to pray for one another, things that we can pray for one another. People, if you don't know anything else, just go to the Word of God. What is the Colossians we studied? Wives, be submissive to your husbands. You don't know what's going on. Pray that she be submissive to her husband. Husband, lift up your wives in spiritual love. Pray that he lifts up his wife. Parents, do not exasperate your children to rebellion. Pray that they do not arouse their children. Just pray according to the Word of God. See? What these young people need to be in prayer for. Sexual problems, political problems, military, or political things going on. Education, their test. See? Sometimes you can get to where you think, this test is the whole, it's not the whole world. It's not the whole world. See? It's that old saying, in 100 years from now, nobody's going to care what you made on that one test. See? So, they need your prayers. Just go to the Word of God and pick out things that it says that we should and should not be. Pray that everyone is and is not. If you don't have anything else, pray for one another. Father, use me in my prayers for others. Let's close in a word of prayer. We're so thankful that you're the sovereign, omnipotent God, that you have revealed yourself to us, and that you joy over us coming to you in prayer. That's just amazing. Why would you care that I came to you in prayer? But you do. So, Father, we praise you for the God you are. We praise you that we can pray to you. We pray your Spirit will guide us in our prayer life, to be in constant prayer for one another, what to pray for one another, according to what you would have us to pray. Father, I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning for the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.